Amos chapter 5. Hope you found that. One of the kind of the minor prophets back in there after Isaiah and all those things. Amos chapter 5. And then James. Now James is all the way back there by Revelation. So after Hebrews is James. Amos chapter 5. All of this chapter's, you know, about charging Israel with what they've been doing. But we're going to start with verse 12. Amos 5:12. Our main verse is going to be verse 15. No, 14. 14 and 15 is going to be our main verses, but we're going to start with verse 12. Okay, Amos 5:12. For I know your manifold transgressions, many, many of them, and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord thy God of hosts shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Verse 15. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be with the Lord God of hosts, will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Verse 16. Therefore the Lord thy God of hosts, the Lord, said thus, wailing shall be in all the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to the mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentations to wailing. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, him coming back. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or he went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell of your solemn assemblies. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these precious words, and God, let us understand what it is to hate sin. God, let us understand what it is to live. God, help us live close to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this latter part here about the day of the Lord is back when Jesus is coming back. Sometimes it's called the rapture, when he's going to take the Christians out. But the people he's talking to here, they're the Jews. They claim to be followers of God, but they're not saved. And they're living out in evil ways and vile ways and wicked ways, and they're living a terrible life. He says, why do you want the day of the Lord to come? It's not going to be good for you. It's like a guy running from a lion and meets a bear and goes in his house to get safety, and a snake bites him. That's how the day of the Lord's going to come on you. It's not going to be light, it's going to be darkness. Why? Because they are away from God. What intrigued me with this study is verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And then in verse 15, hate the evil, love the good. We have become tolerant of sin. We have become accustomed to sin. We have forgot how to hate sin. You look at our society today, and you that have been around longer, you look at how when TV first came out, and what's on TV now. The vile and wicked and the evilness and all the suggestive things that's going on and all the stuff that's happening. They said, well, that was the old way. This is the modern times. Still the same God. He hasn't changed His standards or guidelines or anything else. If it was sin 50 years ago, it's sin today. If it was sin 100 years ago, it's sin today. If it was sin 2,000 years ago, it's still sin today, because God still has the same guidelines, the same standards, the same rules, the same regulations, because God has not changed. There is no shadow of turning with Him. He is immutable. God will always be the same, because God is God. God is right. God is correct. God has never been wrong, so He doesn't have to change anything, because He's always been right. Sin. It says, hate sin. Now, hate is a very strong word in the Bible. He says if you hate someone, it's just like murder to that person. Hate is a very, very strong word. We are commanded by God to hate sin, but love the sinner, because Jesus loves us. Now, I want us to look, I told you about James. James chapter 1. I want to share something with you here. James chapter 1, verse 15. About sin and death. James 1, 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The end result of sin is death. The end result of all sin is death. Destruction and death. There is not one sin that you can think of that does not in some way affect your physical body. Whether it's worry, ulcers, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is. One of the names of Satan is destroyer. That's his goal. To destroy anything that has anything to do with God. I was thinking about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They disobeyed God. And they ate of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, that's only one sin. Now, they directly disobeyed God. But it's only one sin. One sin. Adam and Eve were perfect. They were made by God without any sin in their life. They had no desire to sin. They had no inkling to sin. They had no wants to sin. They had no dreams about sin. They were perfect. No sin at all. And then Satan comes and starts talking to Eve and puts doubt in her mind about what God said. And she saw it was pleasant for the eye, tastes good, and desired to make one wise. And she took it. And she gave it to Adam.
One sin. One sin.
If we'd have been there, we'd say, well, now, God, come on, man. It's just one little thing. It's all right. I'm not going to do it again, I promise. It's just one little. Hey, I just took a bite. I didn't even eat the whole thing. It's just one little sin. Come on, God. You know, hey, give me a little slack here, you know? Come on. You know, they tried to pass the buck on. Well, the serpent said, was that, Eve said, it was that serpent you made. And then Adam said, it was that woman you made, you know. They just kept trying to pass the buck on down. But they were hiding from God. God came looking for him in the cool of the day. Where art thou, Adam? Now, he knew where God was. You can't play hide and seek with God. But he was waiting for Adam to step forward.
One sin. And because of that one sin, all of creation was changed. All of creation was changed. Even how women give birth was all changed. The crops were changed. The ground was changed. The animals were changed. Thorns and thistles. He's going to work from the sweat of your face. You're going to eat bread when you're tired because you worked all day so you could have something to eat. Everything was changed. One sin. I wonder what Eve thought about serpents after that. They were in a perfect environment. God planted a garden in the eastern side of Eden. All the world wasn't like that. This was a special place that God made for Adam and Eve to live. It had everything they needed there. They had to work. They took care of it. But it had everything they needed. It was a totally perfect environment. Perfect environment. With two perfect people to love God. Gave them a free will. And they chose to disobey God. One sin. Just one sin. Hey. No big deal, just one sin. Come on, God, give me a break.
God killed an animal. First blood that was shed to cover sin and made them coats of skin to cover their sin. And they were kicked out of the garden. The flaming cherubim was put there at the entrance to the garden so no one could come in. They were kicked out of the garden. Because they weren't worthy to live in a perfect environment that God had made for them. One sin. Now, Adam taught his children how to worship God. Cain and Abel. They both knew how to worship God, bring sacrifices to God. But Cain wanted to do it his own way. Cain tried to start a new religion there. There was no blood. Got mad. God gave him a chance to repent. Wouldn't have it. Got mad. Rose up against his own brother, flesh and blood, as they was walking down the field talking, and killed his brother. Blood laid on the ground. As it cried out. One sin. Just a little piece of fruit. One sin. No big deal. Just one sin. Come on, man. All of creation was changed. Kicked out of a perfect environment. And murder. Murder. His own flesh and blood. His own brother. His own brother. Killed him. Just one little sin, God. Come on, man. I have to get so upset. It's just one little sin. No such thing. One little sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. Death.
says, the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. They were separated from God. He died spiritually that day. That's why they hid in the weeds or the bushes. And that's why evil entered Cain's heart. Killed his own brother. We, as Christians, if you're saved, we must hate sin. And I mean hate it. I mean you cut the serpent's head off and you crunch it with your heel and you hit it with the shovel and you burn it and you dig a hole and you skin it and you do anything and everything you can to destroy that. You ever got so mad you just want to go up and just choke somebody? You know? Just go up and give them a good shaking. That's what we're supposed to be with sin. Hate sin, not the sinner. It brings forth death. The devil is a destroyer. Look at this world. Look at your own body, how it gets older and it just gets getting weaker and more bent and all, because it's the results of sin and destruction down through the world. Sin. We cannot tolerate evil. Whether it's just a little bit of poison or a lot of poison, it's still poison. It's still death. They made the pot of stew that says there's death in the pot. They put some herbs in it and cleaned it up. The water was bitter, wormwood, water. And they caught a tree and put in it and made the water pure to drink in the wilderness. Picture of Christ and Jesus and the cross. We have to learn to hate sin. Little sin, big sin, lot of sin, it doesn't matter. We must learn to hate sin. Sin's ultimate goal is destruction and death. No matter what it feels like for a little season, there's a payday coming. And there are results to sin. And no one sins unto themselves. And that sin can be forgiven, but it doesn't take away the results of that sin many times. You should be able to find Matthew without too much trouble in your Bible. First book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. When I think of sin, and I think of destruction, and I think of how evil the devil is, it reminds me of this story here in Matthew chapter 2. Now, this is after the wise men had come to Jesus. After they'd followed the star and came and found Jesus. They come to Jerusalem right off the bat. Where's this king that's been born? They come to Jerusalem. They come to King Herod. Where's this new king that's been born of the Jews? He said, well, I don't know anything about it. So he gets his people to look in the scriptures and things, and they find out where he's supposed to be at. He says, well, you go find this new king. And when you find him, bring me word back so I can worship this new king. That's what King Herod said. Well, he didn't want to worship him. He wanted to annihilate him. Because he was threatening his position there if there's a new king born. Well, the wise men, they go and find Jesus. He's in a house. It's been a while since the manger. He's maybe 1 or 2 years old. They go there. They find him. They give him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they worship him, and they find who they've been looking for, and all some great lessons in there. And then God tells them in a dream, don't you go back that way. You go back another way. And they told Joseph, you take the boy to Egypt. Because they're trying to kill Jesus. Well, Herod figures out, hey, these wise men ain't coming back. They didn't tell me where this Jesus was. So you know what King Herod does? From the influence of the devil in his life in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 2. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth. I mean, he's so mad he's almost foaming at the mouth. And he sent forth and slew all of the children that were in Bethlehem, in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had diligently required of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy, the prophet of saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and was not comforted because they were not. I don't know how many babies this was. I'm sure it was at least 100 or so. He sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. He says, I want you to kill every baby that's 2 years and under. Innocent babies. Never done anything wrong to anybody. What kind of person can take a little baby and run it through with a sword? Run it through with a spear? Chop its head off? What kind of a person can take a little old cute innocent baby and kill it? It's got to be evil. Got to be wicked. Got to be. I mean, it's happening in today's world. Not even talking about abortion. You can't play with sin. The devil wants to destroy. You mamas remember your baby when you first held your baby? How precious and how cute it was. Oh, it was part of you. I mean, when it was sick, your heart went out to it. When it was sick, you hurt. It's part of your life. You loved it. It has to be mighty evil to kill something like that. And we just tolerate sin. That's the results of sin in this world. And we can see it today in this world. We must hate sin. Well, it's just only one little sniff. It's only one little shot. Only one beer. Oh, everybody else is smoking. Why don't I? Well, that's what everybody else is wearing. Tolerating sin. The shows, the movies, they're nice. They got some pretty decent shows, but they'll throw something in there. Just messes the whole thing up. Because that's what people want to see. Toleration of sin will lead to destruction. Where's America headed today? England was one of the greatest countries for spreading missionaries and the gospel there for a long time. They were the main outshoot of the gospel being spread, and missionaries were sent out. The churches became weak and the churches became tolerant. You read Spurgeon's epilogue, and he died of a broken heart Because he saw what was happening in the churches. They were getting lax. Compromising. Oh, we can just all get along. You can't fellowship and get along with somebody if they believe different. There's only one God. There's only one heaven. There's only one Jesus. There's only one way. There's only one Bible. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus. Anything else is religion involved with other things. It's not with Jesus and only Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus is alive in heaven today. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is 100% man. Jesus is 100% God. Jesus is the one that gave His life's blood. Jesus is the one that gave His heart for us. Jesus is the one that gave His flesh for us. Jesus is the one that laid Himself as a lamb down to give a sacrifice for our sins. That was Jesus. Wasn't anything else. He's the one. And He did it because He loves us and because of sin. Oh, sin didn't kill Him. He laid His life down. He voluntarily laid His life down. We don't have the power to kill God. We must hate sin. Just a little bit. We must hate it. Well, it's just one sin, God. Come on. We must hate it. Despise it. Detest it. Loathe it. Prohibition days. Well, they shouldn't be selling alcohol, but they do. Well, why did they legalize it? For money. Taxes and money. The drug wars. Can't fight it. There's too much money. Hey, it's not the money. It's the evil. It's the evil. There's crooked people everywhere. We must learn to hate sin. Hate it. Hate it. Cannot tolerate it. I go down and I see Xmas trees. Ugh. They took out Christ and replaced Him with an X, an unknown in algebra. X. Too much paint. Too big of a sign. I ain't buying nothing from one of those places. Even if it's the best deal in town, I'll do without. Happy holidays. I say, Merry Christmas. The greatest gift of all came into this world. Life through Jesus. If we tolerate sin, then we are an enabler of that sin. Well, that's the only game in town. Well, then stay home. Sin is death. Little sin, big sin, it equals death, it equals destruction, because that is what the devil is about. And he is not going to change. You must be a light in a dark valley to shine forth the truth and expose sin. Somebody starts telling a joke, we'll just say, "Yeah, sorry. I gotta go do something else." Sin has gotten to be just one click away from the mouse on your computer. Oh man, you gotta watch that. You gotta put your filters up. You gotta watch that stuff.
What does a girl have with skimpy clothes do with selling tires? She don't know diddly squat about tires. Or whatever it is. But they put them there because the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. And because you got this little naked woman selling tires, you're going to go down there and buy tires or batteries or motorcycles or whatever it is. You know? They have taken anything they can to make you look at it. Hey, the first look could be an accident. The second look's on purpose. And I guess I see men, all these muscles and all that stuff, advertising stuff too. I guess women have the same desires. I mean, they got all this bodybuilding stuff, you know. I wonder if I'd look like that if I bought that, you know. My wallet would be skinnier, but that's about it, you know. I ain't worried about looking like that. I just want to live. I bet Adam didn't look like that. Until Christians hate sin, it's going to get you. It's going to bite you. Anybody that plays with snakes, now, you know, that's their thing. People play with spiders and snakes, whatever. But, you know, most, they're professionals. They're professionals. They've been bit. Reading a story about a man in a zoo, San Diego Zoo. And he had this big king cobra. And he had a scar over his eye for some reason. And they shed their skin ever so often. Well, the king cobra can kill an elephant. He's got enough poison in it. And so every year they have to go in there. And when he sheds his skin, it sticks here and it gets an infection where the snake's going to die. So, but anyway, he's in the zoo, so they got to protect him. Anyway, so they catch him. They have a net, like a fish net. I mean, a little bird net. And he strikes into that net and they grab him. One guy grabs him and two other guys hold his body down because he's a big old snake. And then they milk him, you know, milk the poison out as much as they can. And then the guy holds him. I mean, he's sitting there and he's sweating and he's, you know, says, well, why are you milking him? He says, because the most dangerous time is when you let go of the snake. And he can bite you then. That's the most dangerous time is to let go of him. And we want to milk him as much as we can. So if he does bite me, I have a chance to live. It's the most dangerous time to let go. It's the way it is with sin. It grabs you and hangs on. You've got to let go. You've got to be quick and get out of there. That's the most, it's hard to let go of some of these sins. Oh, man. Addictions are strong. Whether it's meth, whether it's meth, cigarettes, whiskey, or chocolate. Addictions are strong. I was talking to somebody that worked with addictions and things like that. And he says, you know, I'm having trouble understanding this addiction. He says, well, you've been out all night, you're all drunk, you're wasted, you're all messed up. You get up in the mirror and you look like death warmed over in the morning. And you look in there and the addiction comes along and says, hey, all you need is a burrito and you'll be fine. And that's what he says, that's what addiction told me. He says, I'd get up, I'd have me a burrito, I'd have me some coffee and I'd go to work.
And I'd work and I'd work and I'd work. Next morning, the same thing. What turned his life around was he woke up in the hospital bleeding out of every opening he had in his body. That's what woke him up. Was he was on his deathbed. And now he's serving God. Leading singing in church. Witnessing to people. Standing up for Jesus. Because he realizes where he was at. And what God did for him. Showed me a picture. Almost looked like a skeleton. And now he fights his body every day because of all the things he's done to it. And it's rebelling and aching and hurting and pain. It's rebelling. His body's rebelling because of all the things he did to it. Yes, God forgive him. Yes, he's serving God. But there's still consequences to sin. And he hates that stuff. And his son hates it too because he saw what it did to his daddy. If you don't hate sin, you're not saved. I didn't say you wasn't playing with sin. But if you don't hate that sin for what it is, you can't be buddies with sin. I looked up all kinds of verses about hate. I mean, it's over 190 some odd verses in the Bible about hate. Whoso is a partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewaileth it not. A righteous man hateth lying. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. I hate every false way. I hate and abhor lying. I hate every false way. Ye that serve the Lord hate evil. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That's just a few. Sin is around us. If you don't hate it, you're vulnerable. I doubt in my whole life that I will ever get bit by a snake. Because I'm never going to get that close. Sin will bite you. And it's quicker than a snake. Let's stand to our feet and have a time of invitation and prayer. I don't know what God wants to do in your life. Hopefully you're saved. I don't know if you are or not. But if you're not saved, then this is the day to get it right. I can't get rid of this. I can't do that. That's right. You got that right. You can't. But through Jesus you can. Say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. I'm killing myself. Help me. Help me. Help me. You don't understand. Yes, he does. Ask him to help you. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this time, God, that you'll take these precious words from your Bible. God, let us apply them to our hearts. Let them apply them to my life, God. Let me learn to recognize and hate sin and evil for what it is and not dabble. Play, God, help me. God, help your people here. God, let us be strong for you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.